Does everyone have a worship guide? I don't know if we have, if you happen to have an extra within your grouping and someone does not have one, maybe raise your hand and someone can help you out. I don't know if we looked all right. Okay, great. Thank you for the communal moment of caring for one another. If you still need one, just go like this. Someone will give you one. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Lord, thank you so much for the communion of the saints, for the gift that it is to be here, for all of our limitations and failings, the ways, Lord, we fall short, the ways we don't represent you, and yet together we can confess, we can take ownership of our lives, and we can be forgiven, and we can remind one another of the forgiveness that's found in Jesus, and we can run the race that you have set before us, following you. And so, Lord, please lead us in this time. Speak to our hearts. Would you renew our repentance as we enter in this season together? In Christ's name, amen. I am very much so a why person. Not necessarily like YMCA, although I do have a Y membership. I'm a why person in that I am not really motivated by like tasks themselves. Or really anything in life without knowing the why, knowing the bigger picture. That's kind of just been my MO. You can ask my parents about my homework habits in terms of the amount of driveway basketball I played all growing up in terms of understanding the why. Why? This is way more fun. I'm going to do that. I find tasks in, again, kind of like sheer existence challenging without knowing why. It's kind of this driving seeking of my heart, I would put it as that. Certainly, there's probably some conditioning there, being raised by an engineer and also pursuing studies for a while in industrial design, where in both cases, reverse engineering are a must-have skill. This kind of reverse engineering of life as a human being is actually the goal of the book of Ecclesiastes. We have to have the skill of being able to see the end and to work backwards in how to get there. It's a spirit-given skill that we call wisdom, actually. And we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes for the remainder of Lent. So we're getting started tonight. We'll be all the way through up until Palm Sunday together. So we'll have time to think through this season. What is life really about? And to discern the end of the matter, what Ecclesiastes will say, again, you have to be able to discern the end in order to make course corrections along the way to arrive where you want to arrive. This is, again, the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. If we want to arrive at a meaningful present life and a hopeful future, we have to know the end. We have to know the end of the story. If the present is all there is, then it's just vapor, temporary, fleeting. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. This is going to be the refrain throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. Seeing the end of the matter brings eternal beauty into the ordinary elements of life. Seeing the end of the matter brings eternal beauty into the ordinary elements of life. In many ways, Ecclesiastes is trying to get us to see the sacramental nature of all things, to see all the dusty, ordinary things that get picked up and transformed and transfigured by a gracious God. This is what the book of Ecclesiastes is going to show us, and it's going to show us by poking us. It's going to prod us. It's going to goad us, the what our text said. And it's trying to make us uncomfortable in order to set us free. It's going to make us uncomfortable in order to bring us into joyful wisdom of salvation in God. This is the claim of verse 11. The words of the wise are like goads. We're meant to have confidence in the guaranteed end of God's grace such that it transforms the present for us. This is what Ecclesiastes is trying to bring us. Ecclesiastes is kind of like a good friend looking at your broken leg saying, are you going to get that checked out? you really should get that checked out. No, it's just a flesh wound. You cannot walk. You should get that checked out. Ecclesiastes is going to call out the frailty, dissatisfaction, entropy, falsehood, and decay of the things around us and even in us. In order to get us to attend to the things of God, to attend to the things that are deeper and higher and that can actually fill all things. It's going to call us to a blessed life in the midst of really feeling the curse. Call us to a blessed life in the midst of really feeling the curse. The curse of the terminal illness that we are all living in called sin and death. And how it is that a good God intends to bless and to redeem us in the midst of that curse and out of that curse. It's the only way, Ecclesiastes is going to say, that we can actually enjoy the temporary things, is if we come face to face with the fact that we are going to die. So we are literally starting at the end of this book, our reading from Ecclesiastes 12. It is the end of the matter. It's the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're arriving then at the wisdom of the one shepherd of every human life. That's what Ecclesiastes said. This is the one shepherd. This is the wisdom of the one shepherd. And this is how it ends. Remember your Creator before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Lights of life darkened, keepers trembled, backs shriveled, grinders ceasing, windows dimming, your very body and self beginning to fray and decline. There is going to come a day when repair and recovery is no longer an option for us. It is going to end. Some of us feel that more presently than others. This is Ecclesiastes is ending the book with this beautiful description, this poetic meditation on dying. You know, we begin in Genesis with this poetic picture of things being made. And here in Ecclesiastes, it's a poetic vision of things being unmade, of individuals falling apart until they're dust. And so Ecclesiastes is a good friend that's trying to say, you are going to die. To live any other way is false. It is not real. It is not true. In hospital chaplaincy work, some of the greatest relief and freedom in terms of people actually being able to connect with themselves and others is when they accept that they are dying. And when their loved ones accept that they are dying, it's then that they can actually be present to each other. And God wants to be present to us in all the small deaths, and then in that final death with us. We have to come face to face with this, not because we're morbid, not because Christians have this thing called total depravity that should make us like grumpy, angry people somehow, but because it's actually the doorway to freedom, joy, and blessing. That's the contention of Ecclesiastes and what I would argue the whole Bible, in fact. We really don't like coming face to face with death in our kind of modern contexts, as in pretty much anything that's hard, painful, difficult. We've sequestered death to media and screens as much as possible, only to be engaged with at the very last possible moment, if at all. And so I would wonder, you know, how often have we really been faced with death or with irreversible decline? You know, we try to, again, sequester these things in terms of fueling this idolatry of youthfulness such that death and aging exists alongside Moana. Like, that's the category of death and aging. It's the tooth fairy. It's just an idea. It comes to us sometimes in headlines that really, like, get us feeling maybe really bad, movies that sometimes we're moved by, or just that awkward discomfort of not knowing how to respond to folks for whom the reality of death and decline is a much earlier and nearer reality. And so this is not to be avoided. Ecclesiastes is going to say funerals are God's schoolhouse. The house of mourning is the house of wisdom. Y'all, go to funerals. Take your kids to funerals. It's going to call us to this again, not because it's just morbid, not because it's trying to make us have a bad day, because it's actually trying to give us a really good day. A day in which we're not hoping in temporary things, but eternal things that then affect our present reality, such that we're free to give and serve with joy in the world. It's a different way of living. This is the end of the matter, Ecclesiastes said. Fear God and keep his commandments. God will judge deeds and secrets of the heart, good or evil. Ecclesiastes would have us confident in eternal life and have a clear conscience in daily life. Confident in eternal life and a clear conscience in daily life. This is the goal of Ecclesiastes. Ultimately, it's the goal, like we've said, of the whole scriptures, that God himself reveals life to us through death. It is through the death of Jesus that we see true eternal life come to us. And so it's in facing death with the death of Christ that we come into the true joy, freedom, peace, blessing of God. That we're no longer bound by the temporary things. That God deliver us from the fear of death by destroying death through the death of Christ, as Hebrews would say. Delivering us from this fear, we're then able to have confidence in eternal life with God and a clear conscience in daily life with God. That is the invitation of Ecclesiastes. It's the invitation of Lent. It's the invitation of the gospel to face death through the death of Christ, and to there have confidence about eternal life and have a clear conscience in daily life so that we can walk uprightly in the wisdom, joy, freedom, peace, and blessing of God. That's the invitation. It is actually for joy that we remember dust. I know we're all going to get ashes on our foreheads in a little bit. And we're going to think about the things that are painful and challenging and sad. But it's for the purpose of deliverance. It's for the purpose of coming clean. The purpose of shedding off that old life, that old self apart from God, and coming into new life, resurrected life, eternal hope, and clear conscience now with God. So as we begin this season of Lent, I would invite us, as we focus on Ecclesiastes, to see this as the opportunity to lay our old lives in the grave. To consider this maybe an extended funeral service. I don't know. That might be a little too morbid for people. But an extended funeral service where we lay to death our old lives so that new life in the grace of Christ can be raised up. That's the purpose of Ecclesiastes. That's the invitation to a holy Lent and what we begin tonight with the imposition of ashes. Let's pray. Lord, would you give us a soberness of heart and mind to be able to not see death as simply an evil tool, but to see how you use it for your purposes of good through redeeming all things. That even death itself is meant to be a servant in our joy through Christ. And so, Lord, lead us in the power of your Holy Spirit to renewal of faith, to put away those things that we're clinging to try to give us life, and to cling to Christ, who is life. Please continue to speak to us through the rest of this service and the season of renewal for us. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.